Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadili and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems, issues and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are mostly based upon the holy book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and naturally of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and Islamic researcher Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today, we will be continuing our previous discussion on how to raise our children in a proper Islamic manner. The first step that we mentioned last time was to introduce the children to the Kalimat al-Tawheed, to introduce them that there is no God other than Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, as a step follow-up to this, to introduce Allah in a beautiful manner, that they may get to know him on a personal level and inshallah form an emotional bond with their creator. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us further.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan al-la'in al-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajhum. We said that first we have to begin by working and building on something that already exists, which is the innate, which is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we get to do that and we get to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them, and obviously at a young age, from a very young age, we get to introduce Allah to them. As far as we can tell, we've been told to introduce Allah to them at the first day of their life. Because we've been instructed that when a baby is born, that we recite adhan in his right ear and iqam on his left ear.
Right.
Now, so he's born, he's day one, he just came to the world. And what are you telling him? Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, Aliyun Waliyullah.
Fundamentals of Islam.
So basically, yeah, you just give it to him at a, like he's day one. Meaning they're already there, his first day of this world, he hears them. One of the scholars, he said, a person from a different religion came to me and he said, look, I was born on this religion, everything, but now I became Muslim. And he said, I think I know why I became a Muslim. He said to him, why? He goes, because my mom, when she gave birth to me, she was looking for a priest or whatever they call in their religion.
Right.
She couldn't find one. So she found a Muslim guy.
To bless the child.
So she said, my mom says, I gave the baby to him. He recited adhan in your right and iqama in your left. And he said, since I am I became a Muslim Shi'i, I think that guy who recited was a Sayyid, was like a Shia too.
Right.
Right? So you can see that it plays a lot of effect. So we're saying we build on that.
You reinforce
from
it.
From day one,
right,
it's already there, and we reinforce it once they come out.
Right.
Now, that's the first stage. Second stage when it comes to teaching our kids Islam is that we need to teach them on the acts of worship from an early stage, slowly, slowly.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break, dear Sayyid.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how to raise our children in an Islamic manner. Dear Sayyid, please pick up where you left off.
So we said we need to introduce to them Islam in a shorter manner, or the acts of worship in a small version. Now, right. The kid himself, like we said, if he has that notion of Allah in him, and right. Like I said, we have a saying in logic, in mantiq, we say, النتيجة تتبعو أخس المقدمات. The result will follow the worst of the beginnings.
Right.
Right. So if the beginnings are bad, the result will be bad. Because sometimes parents say, well, I taught my kid this, why isn't he like this? I say to him, okay, go back to the beginnings. How was it? Right. So sometimes we skip stage one, which is to introduce Allah to kids, and we jump to stage two, teach them salah.
Worship, how to worship.
Yeah, come pray. Right. He doesn't understand what salah is. He doesn't want to even pray. What for? He
doesn't even know who's worshiping.
Exactly. But if he knew Allah prior, and that's why when they were kids, you see them always trying to imitate you when you do salah, when you do sujood right. and ruku especially. They try to imitate that because it's already in them. But as they grow older, if this is not developed, if this is not worked with, they will seem to forget it.
They will lack it.
So the environment right. will affect that fitrah and it will die out. So what we need to do is we need to constantly bring that back and try to make them do like on small portions.
So cultivation, basically, yeah. in essence.
So when Imam Ali alayhi salam says, أَدُّبُوا صِغَارَ أَهْلَ بَيْتُكُمْ بِلِسَانِكُمْ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. So teach your kids to pray first with your tongue, meaning explain it to them first.
Right.
What is salah? What is siyam?
An introduction.
What is wudu? What is tuhur?
Right.
All these concepts first explained to them, and then they can see that you are doing it already. It's easier for them to do. Right. So instead of asking a child to pray completely, like do takbir, do iqama, just say to him, stand next to me, do what I do.
Right, like baby steps.
Yeah, so the kid could do ruku' sujood and he could be looking elsewhere, walking around. Right. He can go and come back. That's fine.
Right.
Right? So get him used to it.
We just need a foundation.
Exactly. Let him come automatically to it.
Right.
Okay? So this is what happened. So I had a kid talk to me the other day and said to me, Sayyid, I'm 10. Of 9, he said, we were talking about taqleed, and he said, is it wajib on me to pray? I'm like, no. He's like, because I've been praying since I was 6.
Right? MashaAllah.
So, some kids, this is when you can tell the beginnings were correct.
They were nurtured correctly.
Exactly. So, when he's praying at 6, meaning that his parents introduced to him salah in such a way that it became part of his life.
Not only that, we also have a story of one of the martyrs of Shuhada who, no reason to really mention his name, but when they became a family and he got children, his wife used to complain because whenever it was time for the prayer, he used to pray wherever the child or children were playing. Mm. So if they were playing with their dolls, he would sit next to them and start praying. And she was annoyed because she thought that he was annoying the children. But he said, I'm not annoying them. I am showing them that salah is part of our life. It is part of your childhood.
That's it. And so, they get to see it.
Right.
So that's exactly. The idea. As long as they're seeing it with their own eyes, they will understand. Because, right. And this is a very important fact, actually, especially when it comes to acts of worship, that some parents do it in closed rooms.
Secretly.
Secretly, or they stay away from the kids. Like, I don't want to have the kids. So they go to their rooms and they close the doors so the kids don't bother them. Or they don't take them with them to the masjid because the people in the masjid, they might get annoyed.
Right.
We have this very bad mentality and it's actually affects the upbringing of the children themselves Islamically.
Right. And with that, dear Sayyid, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Ya Muqiy al-Khayrat, Ya Muqiy al-Khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are having a very fruitful discussion about how we should raise our children in an Islamic way. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
Again, we said that in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and in the words of the Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam, they always begin with, especially when it comes to practical actions, it begins with love, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has a hadith. He says, أَدْبُوا أَوْلَادِكُمْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ خِصَالٍ عَلَى حُبِّ نَبِيِّكُمْ وَعَلَى حُبِّ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ وَعَلَى حُبِّ الْقُرْآنِ, right? So he always attach hub to each of these three things: the love of the Ahlul Bayt,
right,
the love of the Prophet, the love of the Ahlul Bayt, the love of the Quran. If you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will make it very easy for you to follow his footsteps.
Right, you would follow his teachings.
Exactly. If you love the Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam, it will make it very easy for you to follow their teachings. If you love the Quran, it will make it very easy for you,
right,
to learn the teachings. So when it comes to ibadah, when it comes to acts of worship, whether salah, siyam, or any other act, it has to also be done based on love.
Right.
Right? And explain to them what salah is, who is it for, and why we're doing it. If it's explained and understood by the child, and then we take small practical steps into getting them to apply it, then it shouldn't be a problem.
Right.
If anything is forced, and I see a lot of people force their kids to fast,
right,
if anything that requires punishment, because I've seen a lot of parents punish their kids when they don't pray, if it's anything done with bribes and gifts,
right, yes,
okay,
right,
these methods will always fail.
You will backfire eventually.
Okay, because with these things, especially when it comes to ibadah, we want the child to do it willingly.
Right.
We don't want the child to do it based on incentives and
on
based on punishment. Now they might work. Don't get me wrong.
Of course,
they might work.
They are tools,
but their fruit will not last long.
Right.
Because once they hit teenage years, they might continue and they might not continue. And if they decide to continue, their salah would be just because they have to.
Right, out of obligation.
That's how they've been brought up.
Right.
Not because they want to. Not because they love it.
Right.
With us, if you look at all those who love salah and love to pray, if you go back to their life, you'll find out that at a younger age, they've been taught to love salah because it is the only way to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's
right,
the closest way to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've been taught the correct hadith of the Ahl Bayt about salah, the right instructions about salah. And I see this especially with our brothers from other schools of thought. They put great emphasis in trying to introduce salah to the kids in a way that it's a means of love to Allah and closeness to,
right,
Allah.
Right.
It's not, I mean, like we, and you can see that kids at a younger age, they're always praying, they're always in the masjid, they're always wearing nice clothes, and you know,
right,
because
yeah,
they introduce it to them in a way where it actually
it's
goes
not an
with
obligation.
Their fitrah.
Right.
Yeah, it goes with their fitrah, it goes with their innate.
Right.
So it's just a natural process. Where with us, we leave them alone, and then at some stage we say, okay, now you have to pray. And I say, not all of us, obviously, I speak for myself.
Generally.
But inshallah, we have a lot of our brothers from our faith, Shia, inshallah, they're also doing that method. And we can see that in a lot of countries as well. But I'm just saying that we need to keep this balance when it comes to trying to teach them and trying to get them to do things.
And on that note, dear Sayyid, you'll have to end today's program. I thank you for your insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any comments or questions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. In addition to that, we also have social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Fi amanillah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.